Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk with Bev. Yeah, just turn the volume up just a little. Black British mother of West Indian descent with two young adults, and we're based in London. Keep saying it, not an expert of any kind, just sharing my thoughts, opinions, experiences around parenting, in the hope that it helps another parent or someone somewhere. So it's 11:45 p.m. Thursday, the 19th of November. The house is quiet. My daughter's gone to bed. The cat's been fed. It's disappeared, so we shouldn't be disturbed. So I'm just going to grab a glass of something and then talk on this parent talk hashtag. And tonight, I'm just going to share some thoughts about healing spaces. So let me just grab me drink. So what am I drinking? Well, I'm not going to share that because no one's sponsoring me to advertise their stuff. And I'm not looking for a sponsorship, but just saying, nobody's sponsoring me. So no one's sponsoring me. So I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. Ah, that tastes lovely. So I was trying to be lazy and use my time to do a quick podcast, but I recorded it and I was going to come back to it. But I lost the original podcast because the computer died, battery, so I've got to record this all over again. So here I am, having to go back to the drawing board. But I prepared myself, or at least I hope I have, and I hope the cat doesn't come and disturb me. So, you know what? Talk about the cat, right? I was in a training session this afternoon, and you know, the cat just clear jumped up and looked into the camera and then sat down. Looked in the camera and just started looking at all of the people's faces on the screen. And you know, I was just like, I just tried to pretend that she wasn't actually there, but they kind of had two of us for the price of one. Anyway, if I remember, before I lost the last podcast, right, I said that I had done a podcast for my daughters called Message for My Daughters, Man and Ting. And I was thinking whether or not I was actually going to post it. I know, baby. I didn't know whether or not, I don't know still if I'm brave enough to post it, because it's been sitting on my files for about a week. I'm still not sure, because I think what I don't want you to think is that when you post a podcast, or when I post a podcast, that the conversation's over because this recording's over, because there's still a lot of growing and there's still a lot of thinking and things can change. So I think that's probably why I'm kind of not posting it, because I'm thinking, oh, but things can change. But anyway, I guess I just have to see what happens. But I realized that the end part of the podcast that I had done was better. But anyway, you know, that's another story. So today, healing spaces. I think I've realized that since the start of this new lockdown, that I've been in online places, and that I'm reflecting on it, and I realise that I've been in spaces where there's been a lot of healing taking place, healing for me and for those who have been in those spaces with me. I was on for Ferity Radio with Amika on the 8th of November, and we were reflecting on questions around parenting and like working with schools and, you know, we touched on things like co-parenting, which I guess is another conversation or a podcast all in itself. I think there were too many nuggets of information, but two of the things that I remember that we talked about that seemed to resonate with parents was about co-parenting. And also I'd mentioned something about The Five Languages of Love by Gary Chapman, which kind of helped me and helped me and my family when we were at loggerheads, because then we kind of really begun to understand each other a little bit. And you can find, if you go to a search engine, you can find the Five Languages of Love. If you just put that in a search engine, it should come up. And there's an online quiz that you can do, that you can do ones with for yourself as a single parent or as a couple. You can do one for young children. You could do one for teenagers. And she's jumped down. You can do one for teenagers. And it just might be something that helps on a journey of healing for those who might need it. But I'm not sponsored by, you know, whoever. I'm just sharing it because I think it really helped me. And if it helped me, it might help somebody else. So, you know, but if there's any parents out there who, you know, they want to share their experiences on this podcast, then, you know, as long as we keep it respectful, then I'm happy for, you know, people to reach out. So you can get in contact with me on one of my emails, which is ppowerbev, which is all one word, at gmail.com. But the interview for Verity Radio is available on the Mixcloud, on mixcloud.com. So for anybody who's interested in hearing what we were talking about, please feel free to go to mixcloud.com and put in Feferity, F-E-F-E-R-I-T-Y, radio with Amica. But it was on the 8th of November. So that was one of a healing space that I found myself in. But, you know, since July 2020, I've been working with others contributing to a plan that's looking at our mental well-being. And mental well-being and mental health is not something new. And there are interventions that exist. But, you know, sometimes we wait too long. And then when professionals get called in, it becomes a real battlefield, and medication and all the rest of it. And I think what we're thinking about is how can we get to a place to deal with mental health and well-being before professionals have to be called in. So anyway, that's kind of what I've been doing. And I think with lockdown and the work that I've been doing, I've seen a lot of people who are suffering from stress, depression, lack of motivation, fear, definite fear. A lot of people are frightened. Kids were not at school, and that was having a real impact on families and especially parents. And domestic violence was on the increase because you're locked inside the house. I can't even imagine what that's like. And so much more has been brought to the surface because of COVID-19. And all the things that we were covering them, you know, it's like having a little cut and you cover it with a plaster, but now the cracks are just too big and we can't hide. And now we're in the second lockdown, you know, although, you know, some people have said they're coping better. Yeah, we're coping better. Some of us are coping better because we've already been through one lockdown already. You know what I mean? But, you know, I spoke to a friend the other day who had come back from being abroad, and he said that he had to be in isolation for 14 days. And he's like, B, I felt like I was in prison. You know, you can't go out. You're being tracked and traced. And he says he now has an appreciation for those who are not able to come out, who are much more vulnerable and can't even go out to the shops to get shopping or to even see anybody, and they don't have anybody who's checking in on them. So, you know, mental well-being is going to be a big issue, and it's going to be a big impact from COVID-19. Now, you know, some of us, we're going to use different ways to dull the pain, right? Some people will use food, like I have done that in the past. Some people are just go from one drama to another drama. You know, you're in someone's business and you're in someone else's business, but you're not in your own business. You understand what I'm saying? Some people will use exercise to get over the stresses and the strains, and some people are going to use sex, just not even going to lie. You know what I mean? They're going to use that as a way to get over. Some people will just go into compulsive buying, which is just going to create more debt. So with the group that I'm involved in, you know, we're looking at the desire to prevent a mental health crisis across South London. So on the 10th of November, there was a South London COVID-19 Preventing a Mental Health Crisis Summit, which took place. And this was in partnership with Citizens UK. And we launched a listening campaign, which has started. And it's started now, and it's going to go on until the 31st of January, where your voices, we need your voices to help shape solutions to the impact COVID-19 is having on us all, on our families, on our communities, mental health. So Citizens have offered training for those wishing to run their own listening campaign in their own neighborhoods, in their own school, faith and community groups. So if anybody's interested, there's kind of two ways that you can do this, because there's some training that's happening on this on Monday the 23rd of November and Tuesday the 24th of November. And I'm really sorry that I haven't sent this information out sooner, but I've been sending emails and all the rest of it to people who are in my network. But anyway, you can go onto a search engine and insert the words South London Listens, and it should take you to slam.nhs.co.uk website. And from that website, you should be able to follow a link that takes you to the listening campaign, all right? And you can register yourself on there. And if you're not from an organization, don't worry about it. You know, you can register yourself so that you can get access to the training on these dates. So there's another form that you can complete. I went on this website. It was a little bit fandangle, you know, going all over the place. I like to keep things simple. Click this, get there, get out. But this one is www.actionnetwork, which is all one word, actionnetwork.org/forms/south-london-listens. Again, it's actionnetwork.org/forms/south-london-listens. And I believe that I'll take you to the form. So good luck with that. I know that technology can be, challenging. But the training's on Monday the 23rd. This one is from 1 in the afternoon till 2:30, and it is via Zoom. And then on Tuesday the 24th, the training is from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. on Zoom. And these are all UK times. So if you're listening to this and you're in another country, you're just listening, really. But the training will give you the tools and confidence you need to listen to others in your community. It will help you find compelling stories and move people into action. So they'll send you the Zoom registration link after you've signed up. And, there are only a couple of questions that you'll be focused on. So that's one thing, another space that I've been in that has been healing, because we've been talking about how can we put things in place in our community that's going to heal us and prepare us for the fallout of COVID from COVID-19 and for our mental well-being. I've also been in other online spaces focusing on relationships. Ha ha ha, nothing new there. But this has been where men and women have come together to... Yes, babes. What's up? Just because I started talking about men and women, what? Let me finish this podcast and then we can talk, right? So it's where men and women have come together respectfully listening, questioning and supporting each other. And I think more of that's needed. Now, there's a space to talk without the men and a space to talk without the women. And I'm not saying that isn't a valuable space, right? But I think if we do need to come together, otherwise, how are we really expected to heal? We need to come together. We need to listen to each other and respectfully, you know, if it respectfully challenge each other, but at the same time, be prepared to have our vision of things changed. I've also been in another space, right? It's called Family First Forum, which I've been in with Tracy Ford from JAGS Foundation. And JAGS Foundation is a charity. And at the moment, they're trying to give parents a space to share their experiences, talk about their experiences and learn from each other as we explore solutions. Oof, the real thing is to think of kind of sustainable ways in which parents can support parents and community can support community. I mean, why wait until we've encountered heartache before we take matters into our own hands? I mean, we really have the tools ourselves to heal ourselves. The question is, will we take the steps to do so or just sit around and wait for someone else to offer some solutions? I know, Bella. Today, my friend kind of reminded me that fear paralyzes. She said that if she didn't surround herself with like-minded people, take decisions to learn about things. Hello, babes. Now you've jumped up. I know. All right. Take decisions to learn about things that have not. It's helped her, but it's not only helped her. It's helped her, and it's helped her with her son. You know, because he was on a pathway to school exclusion, which would have changed the world for him. And now, because of the fact that she has taken the steps, she had taken the steps to do something new. He's now at university, which is somewhere she couldn't have seen him be. So, you know, sometimes it is about taking steps and realizing that you can heal your situation. So the question is really, how brave will you be to make the changes needed for you and your family? Will you step away from the old patterns that have not been serving you well and seek out new people and spaces that will challenge you to do something different? I know I have. And I'm not saying that because, oh, I'm better than anybody else. I'm just speaking from experience. Yes, I've had to. I know that we don't always succeed, but we do succeed because we've taken a new step. And try to have a positive change and create positive changes. Sometimes, you know, the people around you may have limited beliefs in, you know, being able to change things. And I kind of wanted people around me who gave me hope or could show me a new way or challenged me to see new things. And if there's no new thing, then I've got to try and create it. You know, I think I personally, I just networked with others and I opened myself up to new opportunities and I worked my way through things that were uncomfortable. And sometimes it meant I had to be on my own. And I'm not going to lie, sometimes it was really difficult because I couldn't see what it was going to look like. You know, there are times you just have to step out in faith. If you can hear that, it's the cat murmuring. She's right up by the mic now. You're funny. You know, nothing changes if we keep doing the same thing. And boy, have I learned that in more ways than one. You know, the way my parents did things is totally different. Totally different to what is needed today. If I try to use what they were doing with my kids, the result of would be like resentment and disconnection. Those things might be the payoff. So trying to parent in a new way is scary because there's no blueprint. Look, there was no blueprint when our parents were rearing us, okay? So I'm not beating up on my mum and dad. You know, they did the best with what they had and what they could do. But, you know, I'm the other generation. So either I'm going to look at ways to try something new, or I'm just going to repeat the same old thing. And yeah, but things have changed. And so I've got to change as well. So let's take, for example, right, discipline. Now, I couldn't beat my kids the way my parents had beat me. And I suspect you can't either. So either I tried to do that, and before you know it, social services would come knocking on my door and threaten to take away my kids. And we know what that could end up like. Well, in my fear, how that would end up would be me killing the police and being taken to jail, and my kids would be lost to the system. And that really wasn't the vision I had for myself, especially after me spend so much time pushing out my children. Then I could do nothing, right? So I could choose to do nothing and be paralyzed with fear because I'm frightened of the state. I'm frightened of what everyone's going to say and do. And I'm still going to lose my kids because I'm either going to lose them to the street or I'm going to lose them to the system. Or you have to seek out another way. Now, I watched those nanny programs, right? You know the ones I'm talking about, where the woman goes into the house where the children them is unruly, and then she observes for a period of time, and then she starts putting in rules and regulations for the parents to do with their kids. Listen, we used to sit down and watch that as entertainment because we couldn't believe some of the things that this woman was recommending. Like one of the things that I remember her recommending was, what was it? Time out. Put them on a step. Put them on a step and give them some time out and ignore them. We were like, really? You think that's going to work? You need to give them two lick. Okay. But you know, it's just like, what's that program where everyone's chatting back at the telly, Gogglebox or something like that? Yeah, I don't even watch TV that much anymore, but it's like Gogglebox where everyone's watching the program and you're all discussing what's going on. That's what we were doing when we were watching these nanny programs. And it was so like, oh, you know, as I say, go on the step, right? And then I just used to die. Or it would be like where the parent would be talking to the child like they were mini adults. What would Johnny like mummy to do? Would Johnny like mummy to give him some dinner? I was like, what? What the heck am I watching? But I wasn't feeling that. I could tell you, I wasn't feeling that. But I ain't gonna lie. There were times when I did try some of those things. I'm not gonna front. But they didn't work for me. So then I'm left with what could I put in place that's going to work for me? Yeah. So one thing I found was using my voice and using patois, you know, Jamaican lingo. For some reason, my kids were scared of that. So let me give you an example. Don't cross that road would be a tone I'd shout out. And then if they weren't listening to me, I said, me not tell you already, don't cross the road. That got my kids' attention. Or, so I just used what I had. So like, you know, if I was repeating myself once or twice and they weren't listening, I would just go into patois or into lingo, Jamaican lingo, and they would be like, jump to attention and get work done. The other thing that I found that worked for me was that I lost my sense of embarrassment. So, you know, this is where you have to know your kids. So I know that my eldest hated embarrassment. He had to look embarrassed and shame in public. And I remember one time we went Tesco. I went with her and my mum, which is her grandmother. And the Pitney then was running off and going about their business, right, in big old Tesco. Well, I told you I use my voice. I have a very loud voice when it needs to be. I've got a fantastic set of lungs. And I shouted, I raised my voice to a pitch that everybody in Tesco could hear. And I mean everybody. Did I care? I didn't care. And I spoke in dulcet tones with Jamaican lingo thrown in. My mother was so embarrassed. She walked off like she didn't know me. And I was like, yo, mum, don't even front like you're walking off from me, because I don't care. I'm my Pitney them and they ain't walk. Bring on the stage right back, yasso. Bring yourselves right back here. They did. I'm just killing myself. I'm having a party by myself here. So I think what I'm trying to say is figure out what will work for you and try different things. And don't just rely upon the old stuff. You might have some fun, and you might succeed, you might fail, but at least you're trying something different. I mean, where are we now? Where am I now with my kids? I don't need to shout. I stopped having to give them any physical discipline many years ago. And we're able to talk. So something worked for us, amongst those other things. Now, doing the listening thing that I spoke about at the top of this podcast will not solve all the issues, but trying to start something that can be tweaked is better than complaining about what's not working. Preempting and planning for a fallout is not doom and gloom. It's a mindset of being flexible and adaptable to change. Now that in itself is creating a resilience to cope with what's to come. So are you going to allow others to speak for you? Or are you going to do something like run your own listening campaign or event that can feed into solutions that you want to see? I am definitely not going to sit here and tell you that and try to tell you that my belief in God has not helped to pull me through things. But that's another podcast entirely. Whatever helps you to remain hopeful is what you need to cling on to, especially as the madness of COVID-19 and lockdown threatens us in more ways than one. What I hope by sharing these podcasts, the interviews and information, is that while you potter around, that you get a chance to think and take action where it's needed, that you become brave enough to take that action, but most of all, that you know that you're not alone. We might not have found our tribe, in inverted commas, our people, our groups, yet. But seek and you will find. Just be open and see what happens. So yes, this is the end of the podcast. It's not an hour long. And I just want to say thanks for listening. Bella's off playing with a mouse now. And it's a fake mouse, not a real mouse, people. Come on, come on, come on. Anyway, thanks for listening. Wishing you and your loved ones some daily blessings. Remain safe. Until next time, I and Bella, we're out.